The gospel you have just heard and the account that we know of the wise men turning up to pay homage to the Christ child is only recorded in Matthew's gospel. It's not in any of the other gospels. And a lot of the traditions which have come into the nativity scene and the language that we use and the symbols and the images have actually been inherited from culture. They're not part of the original gospel story at all. And some of you may well be aware of that. There's no mention of kings anywhere in the gospel story. There is the mention of wise men, and there is the mention of the East. But in the psalm that's used, and from the prophet Isaiah, kings do get a mention. There's no mention of three either. Yet tradition has had it from about the 300s that there have been three wise men, and then somewhere along the line they became kings, probably to make them a little more noble, dress them up, a bit of a costume change opportunity. But it was nothing really to do with the story, and unfortunately it's a little bit like that in society. I think the truth is here, but it's sometimes so shrouded or dressed up in other things that we have to really struggle to find out what the essence of the truth is. And Matthew's writing a biography, if you like, of Jesus' life. So he starts off with the first of three major events. The first is the visit of angel Gabriel to Joseph, which is important to remember in this year of Joseph. Joseph's role was hugely significant. Traditionally quite underplayed, I think, but hugely significant. So that's the first thing. The second thing is the visit of the wise men. So the first thing, angel Gabriel, God's glory is seen in a simple man and witnessed by a simple man through the angel, the highest messenger from God. In this event, we have non-Jews, Gentiles, recognizing the Christ. And the star is important because the Jews, God had revealed himself to the Jews through Scripture. For the Gentiles, God is revealed to the Gentiles, the non-Jews, through nature, through the star. The third major event that hooks into the beginning of Matthew's biography is what we're going to hear next weekend, which is the baptism of our Lord, when the glory of God is not seen through Gentiles, but is actually seen by the people who change their life, those who come forward and say, I want to be baptized. I want to repent of my sins and change my life. And thus the immersion takes place. And we'll hear those words, this is my son, the beloved. So the people who have changed their lives, they now experience the glory of God. So those three things, the angel, the Gentile, wise men, and then baptism, change of life. And Matthew just leads us on into a journey. And each time he takes us a little closer to the divinity and the humanity of Jesus. And we have to really try to zero in, I think, on what does that mean, the divinity and the humanity in this Godhead. What does that mean, and how do I apply that in my life? How do I meet Jesus? And so it might be that I'm waiting for an angel. It might be that I need wise men or women to come along in my life and tap me on the back of the head and open my eyes and ears and perhaps my heart a bit. Or it might be that I really do need to be quiet and listen for the word of God, that his glory might be revealed to me. That's very hard to do when we keep dressing up the situation and adding more things to it and putting layers and layers on that have very little to do with what the truth is. And that is, in all things as a Christian, we give glory to God. Other things that I notice about this particular scene and this time of the year, the Epiphany, the revealing, is that people have for a long time got so caught up with the star, and they look at the astrology and they work out, what is it, Halley's Comet, and they put all of this effort into this star event. Well, it's really a complete and utter waste of time, because the star is the glory of God shining over his only begotten son. It is revealing in the darkness his only begotten son. The wise men see the star. They are most probably astrologers. So they see the star. They don't follow the star because they only see it rising. And then we hear nothing about the star again. They've come from the east, so thousands of miles away in Arabia and what was then Babylon. And they would have had to make their way in the darkness. The star wasn't with them then. They only saw the star again that had been rising when they got to Bethlehem. And then Matthew puts Herod in there because Herod's the king of Judea. And he has all of the power and he has all of the force. But he is also the most threatened and paranoid man probably in that part of the world at that time. And to juxtapose that, what Matthew has is the image that he gives us of the innocence of Christ the King as the child. So you've got the powerful king and then you've got this innocent king. Powerful king, eventually his stomach explodes. That's true. This innocent king changes the world. So it's these opposites that keep coming up, and Matthew is very good at setting the scene and giving us a colourful picture. But it always points back to the Christ child. We hear in this story today that the wise men went to the home. So they're not in a manger anymore. They're actually in a domestic setting where mum and dad and the child and probably neighbours. So they're still in Bethlehem, but they're not. The manger doesn't get mentioned anymore. The manger was probably the easiest way of putting a colourful comparison between Herod and between the innocence of the Christ child. And the fact that everybody was on the move and there was no accommodation. So this Godhead who was going to change the world actually didn't have anywhere to lay his head. Once again, you've got those that have and you have him that has not. Those that have eventually come to an end. They have a use-by date. He has not saves the world. There is no use-by date on that. Our task as Christians is to work out from the moment that we see the star, or we hear about the star, we don't see it, but the moment that that light comes into our life and we make our way there, that's what we're doing now. We're making our way there to encounter the glory of God in Jesus Christ. But more often than not, we are in the darkness. We are like the three wise men who made their way all of that way, but they got there by the light of faith eventually. And they did not have the scriptures. As I said, the Jews had the scriptures. They had nature. And I think for us as Christians, this is a great opportunity, particularly at the beginning of the year, to bring together what we know and what we experience. So we have our scripture, and this Eucharist is part of the scripture, fulfilling of the scriptures. There's no doubt about that. But then we have to involve the nature as well, and that is both our human nature, flawed or broken at times, and sometimes magnificently glorious and compassionate and generous. And then we have the greenery of our earthly nature. Now, this time last year, you will remember what nature was doing to us. Our task for those of us through the light of faith, through the star that is in our life, our task is to make sure that we can integrate in a healthy, happy and holy way, not a miserable, sad way. We'll get a chance to be sad at Easter, because sadly I'll be talking probably about people forgetting it's about the resurrection, which is the most joyous thing for us. It's our salvation demonstrated by blood on the cross. And here we have our salvation demonstrated by the innocence of a child, by the obedience of a mum and dad, Joseph and Mary, and by their own deep faith, and then by the curiosity and by the wisdom of those that never had what we had, never had the scriptures, never had the experience of this community. But when we have this experience, we must leave here by a different route. We must be different. We must be changed when we leave this place. Otherwise, we are not following in the path of the wise men. We are staying in the darkness. That's why Matthew says specifically, and they went back to their own country via a different route. And that's what happens to us. Hopefully, during the course of our life, we come into the light. We are changed. We have to want that change. We can't be told you will change. Try that all you like. Parents will know that with kids. We have to want that change. And when we truly take it on, our life is enlightened. The star is very bright. There is no darkness. Nothing can conquer us, not even some pandemic. And we are living proof of that 2021 years after this event. We are as potentially powerful now as Christians and as a church, moving and acting in the world. But we only bring the glory to God, I think, when we combine both the love of our church and the love of Scripture with our love of nature, our human nature and the creative nature that God has given us. So this year, let us try to bring those elements together that we might be that bright star, that superstar for people in our world that feel as though they are living in darkness still.